We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 1033 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the received traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Our website is bibleforToday.org. We're there 24/7. We preach verse by verse from Romans through Revelation, and you can hear us. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And have you received your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Not another Bible like it in the world is printed. 56,000 are printed and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. Well, we're beginning a new topic this week. We're going to continue for quite a few weeks on this topic. I'm going to be talking about our Bible, our book, I should say, Defending the King James Bible. That's the title of it, Defending the King James Bible. A fourfold superiority. Superior texts, superior translators, superior technique of translation, superior theology. We call it God's Words Kept Intact in English. It's the third revised edition of this book. We've had it out for many years now, since 1992, I think, something along that line. And we want you to have a copy. And we're taking a fact of the matter is, we started in 1992. We reprinted 93, 94, 95, 96, 98, 99, 2002, 2004, 2006. 10th printing. 10th printing in September of 2006. Here, we're right now, as we're talking about this, we're in 2007, and the Bible is still in need of defense. And this is what we call it. We want to send it to you free and postage paid, over 350 pages, hardback edition. I want to send it to you free and postage paid. We begin this Defending the King James Bible, this book, on a poem by my mother-in-law, Gertrude Grace Barker Sanborn. She wrote it way back in September of 1979. It's called The Bible. Majestic, eternal, immutable book, inspired, inerrant, complete. The light of my path as I walk on life's way, the guide and the lamp to my feet. Its writings are holy and verbally true, the unalterable statute of light, for profit, for doctrine, for correction, reproof, infallible guide to the right. My treasure, my comfort, my help, and my stay, incomparable measure and rod, each page is replete with its textual proof, the Bible, the exact words of God. That's the poem that starts out the book, front page Roman numeral number 5. The dedication of this for September 2006, I just simply say this book is affectionately and lovingly dedicated to my wife, Yvonne Sanborn Waite, who has been by my side since August the 27th, 1948. 58 years as of the last month, and now it's coming up next month will be 59 years together. She has encouraged me, prayed for me, assisted me, and stood with me for the things of the Lord and in the defense of His precious and inerrant words. Through her help and willingness, this book has now been published to the glory of God and in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the incomparable King James Bible. Yes, my wife, Mrs. Waite, has made it possible to get this book into the first printing. Now it's the 10th printing. It's going on its own. But she saved up and she took care of things like that and made it possible to get this book in print in the very first, in the beginning. It's in paperback. Now it's in hardback. And we praise God for the influence it's had on many, many people throughout the world. And that's why we're offering it to you free and postage paid. It's a $12 value plus shipping and handling, another $4 at least, $16 value, free and postage paid. So write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, and we'll send you a copy, free and postage paid. In page Roman numeral 8, I have a poem in this book by John Clifford. It's called The Anvil of God's Words. Last night, I passed beside a blacksmith's door and heard the anvil sing the vesper chime. Then, looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with blasting years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all those hammers so? Just one, said he, and then, with twinkling eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought, the anvil of God's words, for ages, skeptic blows have beat upon. Yet, though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammers gone. By John Clifford. The Anvil of God's Words. My friend, this is referring to the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words of the original Bible. That's true. The hammers can't beat against it. But it's also true of our King James Bible, the accurate translation of the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And hammers have beat upon that anvil as well. And it's still here. 1611 to 2011 will be 400 years coming up soon. And it's still here. Other versions have come and gone. Other versions have been stopped being printed. But the King James Bible is still here. That's why we have this defined King James Bible, where the uncommon words in the King James are examined and accurately defined in the footnotes. Our son, D.A. Waite Jr., has done an excellent job on this Bible. We want you to get it and want you to keep it. You don't have to switch to some other version and perversion that doesn't have the proper or original language base and foundation. The wrong Hebrew words, the wrong Aramaic words, the wrong Greek words, the wrong translators, the wrong technique of translation, the wrong theology. You don't need that. Stick with the King James Bible and get a copy of our defined King James Bible to make it easier for understanding, and you'll be thankful to the Lord that you did. Well, we have the acknowledgments of the book, and I don't know whether we should read this acknowledgments or not. It's part of the book. I suppose I should. I wish to thank those who helped in the production of the book, including Ruth Baker, who typed the original seminar from the cassettes, Dr. Galen Gavel, who designed the cover, Yvonne S. Waite, Mr. D.A. Waite Jr., Phyllis B. Detweiler, who proofread the manuscript and gave valuable suggestions. Special word of thanks goes to Dr. Kirk DeVitro. Pastor DeVitro, in my estimation, is a computer genius. He set up my new IBM-compatible computer two different times. He helped smooth out the text in WordPerfect 5.1 and later 6.0 and various other times. He has graciously assisted me in many computer questions. Without his aid, this book could not have been published in its present form. We're thankful for Dr. DeVitro. He's still our friend. He's our secretary of our Dean Mercant Society, in fact. And we appreciate his ministry. He's now ministering in the state of Massachusetts. We've had Dean Mercant Society meetings there. In fact, 2 years from now, we're going back to that place in Massachusetts where he ministers. A final word of appreciation goes to Daniel Stephen Waite. That's our fourth son. Dan is secured from the internet the names of scores of printers. We thank him for finding the best printing prices, for getting our fifth and sixth printings in hardback, and for marketing the book successfully to many active distributors. So Dan, our son, has done an excellent job in this, and he is now our resident computer genius and knows how to take things up and fix them and repair them, and also stream our many meetings of our Dean Burgon Society all over the world because of his knowledge of computers and the streaming potential. The copy has been gone over many times in an effort to bring to the reader the most effective tool possible in defending the King James Bible. Though others have assisted in this process, the author accepts the responsibility for any oversight in form or content that we might have overlooked. And so we did our best. Then we go to the foreword of this book. We're talking about defending the King James Bible, fourfold superiority, text, translators, technique, theology. God's words kept intact in English. Yours for the asking. Give us a call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or simply write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. We're on Roman numeral 11 now, the foreword. This study in defending the King James Bible, fourfold superiority, God's words kept intact in English, is the product of over 28 years of the author's thinking, researching, writing, publishing, and speaking on this most important theme. There's no more important subject to all the Christian faith right today than the Bible. One vital question is, which English Bible are we to read, study, memorize, preach from, and use today? That's the issue. We have a multitude of perversions and versions in our English Bible, but what are we supposed to stay with today? That's the first important question. A second important question is, which English Bible can we hold up in our hands and say with great confidence, these are the words of God in English? Very important question, that second question as well. It's been the purpose of this study to answer both of the above questions by pointing to the King James Bible, proving its superiority in four areas. Number one, its superior texts of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Number two, its superior translators. Number three, its superior techniques of translation. And number four, its superior theology. In all four of these areas, the King James Bible has no equal. Not the NIV, not the NASB, not the English Standard Version, not the RSV, the new RSV, or any other version. It's the King James Bible that answers the first question. It's the one that we should use, read, memorize, preach from, and study. It's the answer to the second question. Which is the only English Bible we can hold up and say, these are the words of God in English? Now, the study is to be viewed as a suggestive outline of this theme, rather than being any exhaustive study. It's not an exhaustive study, but it's an outline study, a suggestive outline study. There is really no end to this important discussion due to the almost inexhaustible information available on the subject. In fact, if you go to the very back of our book, the appendix, you'll see over 1,000 titles that we've listed there defending the King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. It's an inexhaustible subject. And throughout the book, we've cited many helpful volumes for further study. We've also included, as we say at the end, a bibliography, list of publications, over 900 titles. Well, it's up to 1,000 now. This bibliography of books, tapes, videos, and other valuable materials on this theme, those are the materials that the reader might want to secure for their own library. Many titles are added monthly that aren't even in this book. For the latest up-to-date list of materials, we suggest you write the Bible for Today and request brochure number 1, Brochure number one lists over 1,000 titles defending our King James Bible. So much has been added to the present volume. The bulk of the material contained was delivered at a seminar on the King James Bible given at Grace Baptist Church, Cortland, New York, February 13 and 14, 1988. Goes way back to 1988, my friends. And we were asked to come to talk about the King James Bible to this Baptist church in Cortland, New York. And we went. It was a summer, not a summer, it was a winter day, as I recall. Snow piled high, but we still went. The original seminar is available in both 5 2-hour video cassettes or 2 video cassettes, BFT 1594, 1 through 5. And so that original seminar is still available in the video or audio format. The original 3 chapters have been increased, and 2 of those original 3 chapters, we've had chapter 5, appendices A and B, the index, and the additional references. Appendix C contains 39 questions and answers that were asked during the original seminars. We hope that the answers to these questions, which pertain to the defense of the King James Bible, might be helpful to the readers. And so we've had these questions. And these questions and answers there on this final Appendix C are helpful because they ask what some of the most important parts of this whole subject are, and the answers are given as well. Questions and answers on these pages. In fact, the pages are given as to where you can find the answers. And this forms a basis of things that are very interesting because if people are studying the subject and you have it in a class, for example, you can take it and ask the question. And the page number is given as to where the answer is. For instance, what do we mean when we say that dynamic equivalency is diabolical? The answer is found in page 107.7. In other words, 7/10 down of the page is the answer to that question. So these questions are there and are helpful. On Roman numeral 31 for the third editions, important changes. And that's what's given. Some of the important changes that are listed there on that particular page. On Roman numeral 12 of our book, we talk about the New Testament Greek textual battleground. We do have a battleground in the textual matter. I give on the chart form on the left-hand side the Textus Receptus. On the right-hand side of this graph or this table, the Westcott and Hort changes in the Textus Receptus. It's important that we see this. The Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible has 140,521 Greek words. 140,521 Greek words. What do the Westcott and Hort people do with these words? The changes include 5,604 places in the New Testament. Now, these places, some of them have many words in the places. In fact, Dr. Jack Mormon has recently come out with a book called 8,000 Differences Between the Critical Text of Westcott and Hort and the Textus Receptus underlying our King James Bible. 8,000 differences, but there are 5,604 places where these changes are to be found. The Textus Receptus has 647 pages in the Greek text. The changes include, if you add up the footnotes, as I've seen for the Scrivener's Annotated Greek New Testament, the footnotes show where they've changed in the Westcott and Hort text. I added up the footnote words, either added, subtracted, or changed, and I got up 9,970 Greek words. And as I say, Dr. Jack Mormon has given a list of these 8,000 differences. I came up with the words underneath in the footnotes, and he's come up with the actual differences. But this was a count that I made many years before he came out with his book, 8,000. I got 9,970 Greek words in the footnotes of the Scrivener's Greek New Testament, where they've either added, subtracted, or changed the Textus Receptus words. Well, if you had that 9,970, that's 217 Greek words per page. That means the changes of 15.4 Greek words per page. That's the average. 15.4 Greek words per page been added, subtracted, or changed. 100% of the Greek words of the Textus Receptus and the changes are about 7% of the Greek words total, and has all the 647 pages unchanged. The Textus Receptus has But if you'd put end on end the changes that the Westcott and Hort critical text has made in the text receptus underlying your King James Bible, put them end for end, you'd have 45.9 pages in the Greek text. 45.9 pages that are changes, additions, subtractions, or changes. Well, from the above chart, you can see the real Greek textual battleground between the Westcott and Hort Greek text and the text receptus Greek text of the New Testament. You can see that the additions, subtractions, or changes include of almost 10,000 Greek words. And I've given you a picture here. If you take those 10,000 words to see how many words have been included, if they were together in one place, consider what 10,000 Greek words would amount to. It would be the equivalent of either the entire book of Romans, or the entire book of 1 Corinthians, or the books of 2 Corinthians and Galatians, or the books of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1 Thessalonians. It would be the equivalent of the books of James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. Or, finally, these almost 10,000 changes would be the exact equivalent in English of the books of Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, Philemon, 2 Peter, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. And my friend, this is to give you an idea of what it would mean to change that many changes and that many words in the Greek language. This represents the total number of received text Greek words that have been either added to God's words, subtracted from God's words, or changed from God's words by the Westcott and Hort Greek text. I think you'll agree with me that there is much at stake in this battle for our Bible. Isn't it time to contend for the book? This is all part of the foreword, sincerely, for the Defense of God's Words, Pastor D.A. Waite, Ph.D., Ph.D., Director of the Bible for Today, Incorporated, Fort 900. And we live at 900 Park Avenue in Collinswood, New Jersey. My mother-in-law used to call it Fort 900 because we defend the Word of God. Our phone number is 856-854-4452. That's our line for questions and answers. 856-854. In fact, 4747 is my direct line. For orders, just call us on the order line, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Well, that's the foreword. I'm not going to read the table of contents. We have a huge table of contents, many, many pages. Starts on page 13 and 14, 15, 16, 17, way up to page 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, all the way to page 31, from page 18 to 31. That's quite a few pages, but I believe it's important to show where we're going in the book. And you can take a look at the introduction, chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and know. And then appendix A, appendix B, appendix C, and then the questions and answers and so on. So you can see where we're going in the book. We're going over to Roman numeral 31. Let me simply point out this. These are the reasons for the third edition. We had the first two editions. We added some things on the first edition, then the second edition. But here are the reasons for this third edition. I made it in September 2006, talking about our book, Defending the King James Bible. You can get a copy free and postage paid. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Or call us direct at Bible for Today, or simply write us, I should say, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Well, here are the reasons for the third edition. In this third revised edition, 2006, I've revised over 82 pages of this book. I've also revised the subtitle of the book, From God's Word Kept Intact in English, to God's Words Kept Intact in English. I have made hundreds of changes in these 82 pages. The principal changes have been made whenever God's Word has been found. I've changed all these references where applicable to God's words or the words of God. You say, why'd you do that? Well, the reason for this is is what I consider to be a clever, sly, secret, deceptive, and surreptitious redefinition by some fundamentalists of the term Word of God. They've redefined it. This redefinition by some fundamentalists of the term Word of God, and this redefinition has been found in the books, pamphlets, other writings, and speeches from the faculty, graduates, and or sympathizers of such leading fundamentalist schools. I'll notice the schools that involve this change of meaning from Word of God and Words of God. The schools number Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Maranatha Baptist Bible College and Seminary, Northland Baptist Bible College, and others who follow this serious error. The Bible uses Word of God as a synonym for the words of God. I give a number of references to that, starting with Psalm 119, verse 9, 11, 16, 17, and so on. Their modern redefinitions restrict the terms Word of God and Bible preservation exclusively to simply the message, thoughts, ideas, concepts, truth, doctrine, or revelation of the Bible, rather than to the Bible's original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. This is a fundamental and a fundamentalist travesty on God's words and on the entire doctrine of Bible preservation. You see, for the fundamentalist friends who hold this position, the Word of God simply means the thoughts, the ideas, the concepts, the message, the truth, the doctrine, the revelation. Those who restrict Bible preservation to that, they can have all kinds of missing words and adding words and changing words. Serious redefinition of the terms of Scripture. And we're opposed to that. We're against that. And that's why we've changed many, many terms and many words in this third edition of our book, Defending the King James Bible. We want you to get this book. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to order Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible. And remember, we're going to give you free and postage paid if you call us Defending the King James Bible. Hardback edition, $12 plus shipping, $16 value. Yours for the asking. Simply call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Well, my friends, we're going to continue this, Lord willing. We're going to begin on the introduction on page number 1 next broadcast. We're giving you a background of it. We want you to get it. This is a positive defense of our King James Bible. We believe it's needed. We believe it's necessary. We've talked a lot about answering other books that are against the King James Bible. Here, this whole series of our subjects, these next weeks and months, we're going to be taking up this book, Defending the King James Bible. We want you to get it. We think enough of it. We think of its importance enough that our Bible for Today ministry is wanting to give the books away free and postage paid, so that you will be informed about the various versions and perversions of our day. Well, we'll see you next time, next week. Same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at this same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 1,034. 1,034 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the received traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452. or email bft@bibleforttoday.org. Our website is bibleforttoday.org, where you can hear 24/7 verse-by-verse preaching from this preacher from Romans through Revelation. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible. This Defending the King James Bible, now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. You can either ask your bookstore to get it for you or call us direct. We'll send it to you free and postage paid upon request. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Special offer. We're talking about this book. We want the listeners to have it in their hands and to study it along with us. And then, have you received your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. Genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, not another book in the Bible, not another Bible in the world, I should say, like this book. Over 57,000 are distributed and printed and distributed all over the world. Why not get yourself a copy and one for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. All right, we continue today, this week, on Defending the King James Bible, Fourfold Superiority, God's Words Kept Intact in English. This book is in the 10th printing, as we've talked about. We've had many changes from the second printing. And the reason specifically we've changed it, as we mentioned last broadcast, is because the redefinition of our fundamentalist brethren from Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Seminary, Detroit, also a Central Seminary, Northland Baptist Bible College, Maranatha Baptist Bible College and Seminary, and other schools, because they've changed the Word of God from the words of God. And so when they say they believe in Bible preservation, they just mean the preservation of the Word of God, but not the words of God. You say, well, isn't that a little bit stupid? In Scripture, when God says the Word of God, doesn't He mean the words of God? Yes, He does. But why do the fundamentalist brethren then change the Word of God from the words of God? Because they've got to convince people, even though it's deceptive, even though it's not right, even though it's slippery and sly and surreptitious, they've got to convince the Bible-believing Christians that they believe in Bible preservation the same as we do. And they don't. Their Bible preservation is not of the words of God, but simply the message, thoughts, ideas, concepts of God, not the words. And so they can have Hebrew errors in the Hebrew text we have today, and they have Hebrew errors. They can have Aramaic errors, and they have Aramaic errors in the Bible that they have today. And they can consider Greek errors in the New Testament, and they have errors in their Bible that they use today. And they can still say, even though there are errors in the Hebrew, errors in the Aramaic, errors in the Greek, they can still say they believe in Bible preservation, because they're not talking about the words of God that have been preserved, that we believe they have been preserved, the words of God, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. They simply say, oh, we believe in the preservation of the Bible, but for them the Bible is simply the message of the Bible, the thoughts of the Bible, the concepts of the Bible, but not the words. Do you see how wrong this is? Do you see how devilish this tactic is to redefine the Word of God? Just simply make it the message, the thoughts, the ideas, rather than the words? And so these fundamentalist brethren don't really believe in Bible preservation of the words of God at all. They don't believe in Bible preservation, because the Bible includes the words. It is the words. And the original words. My friend, I believe that the preservation of the words, the original words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and we believe that God has preserved them for us in the words underlying our King James Bible. The Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words underlying our King James Bible, that's where I believe God has preserved His words. And those words should be the basis of all translations in any language of the world, as it has been the basis of our King James Bible. Well, let's go on to this book. We're talking about it. We'll be on the next few months, I guess, it'll take. It's a big book. It's over 350 pages. Defending the King James Bible. A fourfold superiority. introduction. We're on page number one. Finally got to page number one after last week's broadcast. Definition of terms. When we say the King James Bible is God's words kept intact, what do we mean by intact? Well, the word intact comes from the Latin word intactus, which in turn comes from its meaning, not, that's the in, and tactus, which means touched. It means not touched. That's what intact means. It means not harmed. Nothing harms or defiles it. That's the meaning of this. God's words kept intact in English. That's what we mean when we say God's words kept intact. If we really want to know what the Hebrew in the Old Testament says and what the Greek in the New Testament says in the English language today, the King James Bible, in my studied opinion, is the only translation that completely and accurately reflects in English the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. This brief study will attempt to convince the reader of the truth of this statement, and failing of this, will at least show clearly why I believe it. But friend, that's my purpose. I want you to see what I see, that we have the only English Bible we have that accurately translates from the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, translates into English accurately. You see, most of these new versions and perversions, and we call them perversions, don't even have the basis that we have. The basis of the Hebrew text is different. The basis of the Old Testament, the basis of the Greek text is different. And so we don't have an accurate translation of the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And we don't have the proper technique of translation, because the translators are not giving us accurate translations even of the words that they do have. And we'll go into this a little bit later as well. When we use versions other than the King James Bible, we cannot absolutely be certain that in every verse, every sentence, every word, they accurately translate the Hebrew and Greek words of God as given to us. And as God has given them to us. We can't be sure of that. Instead, we have man's words all mixed up in these things throughout. And that's what we have. Addition, subtraction, and change. This is done by the use of dynamic equivalency. And that's the big term they use, dynamic equivalency. That's what they call it in these Bible verses. I've studied and gone through from Genesis to Revelation in the New King James Version. I found over 2,000 examples of this dynamic equivalency. I also took the New American Standard Version, Genesis to Revelation. I found over 4,000 examples of addition, subtraction, and change, the dynamic equivalency. I did the same for the New International Version. I got over 6,653 examples of this dynamic equivalency and stopped counting. It took a long time to get that far, thousands and thousands more. I just stopped where I stopped. My friend, I've seen in these other versions, supposedly versions of our Bible, that they just simply use dynamic equivalency. What does that mean? It permits the translators to either add or subtract or change God's words. You say, well, the King James Bible was translated in 1611. That's over 381 years now. Of course, it's more now. That's quite a long time. Doesn't that mean that we don't have to have it anymore? Doesn't that time span make the King James Bible difficult to understand? Well, that's why we have the defined King James Bible. If you can't understand simple wording or non-simple wording of 1611, the defined King James Bible will help you out. As I say, 57,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Well, here's help for the 618 unfamiliar words in the King James Bible. That's the next section here in the introduction. If you come across some words used in a King James Bible that have changed their meaning since 1611, there's a Bible word list published by the Trinitarian Bible Society of London, England, that lists them all with a brief definition of each. It's BFT number 1060. Now, there are only about 618 of these words out of 7,791,000, almost 800,000 words in the King James Bible. And using this little booklet will save you the time of looking those words up in a dictionary. Although all of them are in a good dictionary. They're right there with a brief explanation of what they mean. And I've looked at these 618 and have come up with only about 257 words that I could really have to look up if I were not familiar with the King James Bible. Of course, you don't even have to have this 618 word list if you get one of our defined King James Bibles, because right in the actual page where the word is used, in the footnotes, our son, D.A. Waite Jr., has given accurate definitions, sometimes two, three, and four definitions of that uncommon word. So, as I say, maybe you'd have to look up more than I would look up, the 618 that are listed in this booklet. For instance, draft, which would mean to drain, or sewer, various things. The word fan, drain or sewer is a draft or a draught, a drain or a sewer. The word fan, for example, is a winnowing fan. A press vat is a vat of a wine press. Ossifrage is a vulture which breaks the bones of its prey. And so on. Many different words in this little word list, if you're interested in getting that, instead of the defined King James Bible, or maybe both. There may be a few other words you don't understand, but the meaning can be found by a dictionary or a small pamphlet like this one, which you can keep in your Bible. Again, we have the defined King James Bible now, which you can use and which gives you definitions right on the page. You don't even have to have a booklet. Now, in 1992, we first began to think seriously about bringing out a special study, a study edition of the King James Bible, which would give accurate definitions for all these 618 words and more. A friend of mine began thinking about this project and worked at it with some of his assistants for a while, but finally, I believe he came to the conclusion that this was far too complicated a task for him to complete. I think he has laid aside this project for many other projects he's working on. And so that happened in 1992. We wanted to have a Bible that would define the terms, and so this particular friend of ours gave up on it. But in 1996, the Bible for Today, in cooperation with Dr. S.H. Toh of Singapore, began working on a similar King James Bible. Dr. Toll is a world-renowned gynecologist, or gynecologist, I should say, and also the pastor of Calvary Bible Presbyterian Church in Singapore. My oldest son, Mr. D.A. Waite Jr., has completed now our defined King James Bible and has inserted footnotes which define words that may not be clear. Dr. Toll raised funds for 4,000 of these defined King James Bible, and has distributed them, and he's drafted some introductory and editorial remarks, explanations, the history of the Bible. He has a burden to place the King James Bible into the hands of many third world countries, such as the Philippines and India. This 12-point large print Bible, 7.5 by 10 inches, is a genuine leather, not bonded leather. Either black or burgundy. It's for a gift of $40 plus shipping and handling. And it can be ordered, as I say, at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. But in addition to that large book, which we originally put out, we put out a medium of Bible, a medium defined King James Bible. Instead of $40 for genuine leather, it's only $35 plus shipping and handling. And we want you to order one or the other. In fact, in addition to that, we've now come out with hardback. The large print, 12-point print, the large print, and it's only a question of $20 for plus shipping and handling. And then the medium hardback is only $15 plus shipping and handling for the hardback. So we now have, in addition to what we put in original book that we've had here, in addition to the large print leather, we've come out with the large print hardback, and then the medium print leather and the medium print hardback. But all these different defined King James Bibles, make it available and make it possible for us to understand the King James Bible in the words that are uncommon, that we don't use currently today, or maybe they've changed their meanings. Well, in the introduction, here's point number C, the manifold deficiencies of the NASV, the New King James Version, and the New International Version. Let me tell you what the difficulty is in trying to find the words of God if you're not using the King James Bible. Just going to talk a little bit about these versions we talked about. You don't know which English words are actually found in the Hebrew or the Greek. And unlike the King James Bible, most of the modern versions don't use italics to tell us what has been supplied for sense, though not in the original languages. They don't tell you. They don't use italics as our King James Bible has done in that way. The New American Standard Version uses italics occasionally where they depart from the Hebrew or Greek, but there are so many other words added, subtracted, or changed that you just don't know what the original words are in the New American Standard Version, the NASV. Now, when you have to do this, it's a strange thing, but what you do have to do is what I had to do. I read the entire New American Standard Version from Genesis to Revelation, listening to the King James Bible on a cassette tape recording, which I've made. We have that available, by the way, on the MP3. The entire King James Bible reading and the King James Bible comments. MP3, the whole reading from Genesis to Revelation on one disc. You can order it. We'll tell you how to get it. Simply write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Ask us about this Bible reading on MP3. We have it on cassette tape also, but MP3 is much easier and much cheaper as well. And so, while looking at this New American Standard Version, and underlying, when I listened to the King James Bible as I read it, my own voice, underlining in red some of the significant alterations and changes. Now, that's how I handled this New American Standard Version. Listen to the King James Bible. When I read in the New American Standard Version the different changes, I marked them in red. Then I compared these changes with the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie our King James Bible, which I accept as the true and accurate original languages and their original words. And I found over 4,000 examples in the New American Standard Version of addition, subtraction, and change regarding the words of God. This is found BFT number 1494P. Number 1494P is this analysis. I show you the 4,000 plus additions, subtractions, and changes. And yet, this is the version, for instance, that Bob Jones University is saying to the people, well, this is the most accurate translation of all. Much more accurate than the King James Bible. My friends, no, it is not. No, it is not. 4,000 plus additions, subtractions, and changes from the words of God. Absolutely not the most accurate. It's one of the most inaccurate translations that we have. To be certain, now I go on about what I did as far as analyzing these different versions. To be certain of the accuracy of any version other than the King James Bible, you would have to check every Hebrew and Greek word. This is much more difficult than using this simple word list to look up some 618 words with which you might not be familiar. This little pamphlet is an accurate guide. And there are other guides, as we said. We have this Defined King James Bible, even more accurate and more simple to use. There are only a few words to look up, comparatively speaking. When you think of almost 800,000 words in a King James Bible, and only about 618 are difficult or outmoded or to look up, that's not too many at all. Well, you have the same lack of accuracy, though in not so many instances and places in the New King James Version. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't like the New American Standard Version. I'm going to switch from the King James Bible to the New King James Version. And so they say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, I did the same thing for the New King James Version. I found over 2,000 examples of dynamic equivalency in the New King James Version, where they've either added to the words of God, subtract it from the words of God, or change God's words in some other way. And as I did the research, I indicated in red, in the version I used, the changes from the King James Bible, and in many instances, from the Hebrew and Greek. There are changes in the footnotes also. There are many problems in the New King James Version. You might want to consider and wonder what the words are for accuracy and so on. You can look it up at BFT number 1442. That's the book that you can look at if you want to see the places where they've added, subtracted, and changed the words of God. BFT number 1442. For the New American Standard Version, BFT number 1494. This is 1442 for the New King James. Well, the same is true for the New International Version. I took a look at that as well. For instance, in 2 Samuel, I have all kinds of red marks indicating changes. The major differences I put up on a tape recording and said, the Hebrew, the Greek, or the King James says this, and here's what the New International Version says. And by the way, I've done this for the New American Standard Version. I have it on cassette tape as well, where I spoke the differences. In the books that I've made, the documents I've made, I write out the differences, and you can see them and read them. But if you want to listen to them, I've got those on tape as well as I moved along. I did the same for the New International Version. I said what the King James Bible says in the reading, and then what the New International Version says as well. I ended up in the New International Version, the NIV, which is used, by the way, in many churches, even Bible-believing fundamental churches, I ended up with over 6,653 examples of additions, subtractions, or changes, plus departures from the proper Hebrew and Greek original language text in the New International Version. It took me 2 years and 8 months to complete this analysis, and then there were hundreds and hundreds of examples that I left out because of space, lack of time. I gave up. And 6,653 examples, there could have been thousands and thousands more, but I came up with a computer printer and a printout like we have for the New King James and the New American Standard Version. And that printout, if you want to get it, comparison of the NIV, over 6,653 examples of additions, subtractions, and change, it's BFT number 1749. 1749p, we call it because it's in print. 284 large pages available from the Bible for today. Just simply ask for it. It will tell you how to get it. BFT number 1749. And the comparison of the New International Version. So we've compared the New King James Version, Genesis to Revelation, found over 2,000 examples of addition, subtraction, and change. We've compared the New American Standard Version. We found from Genesis to Revelation, we found over 4,000 examples plus of addition, subtraction, and change. We compared the New International Version and found over 6,653 examples of stop counting of addition, subtraction, and change. Now, the King James Bible of 1611, here's another division of the introduction, has only 421 changes of sound from our present King James Bible. Since we've written this, there's a man that came up, and I listened to it from my ears and found these 421 changes. He actually took the writings and the actual, with his eyes, compared and counted and compared that way, rather than listening to the King James Bible on the tape. Instead of 421 changes, he came up with over 1,000 changes. But still, we did our best with the ears, and we encouraged people if they had any other way of doing it. If they came up with other counts, I'd let us know, and he did let us know. Of course, he's mad at me because I didn't get them all. I did the best that I could with my ears. Sometimes you don't pick up everything as you're going through the process. Each day looking at maybe 85 verses, and the next day you wake up and do the same. And so, but 421 is what I found by my ears. He found by his eyes over 1,000. Now, he says there are over 2,000, but I found that those that he gave, and he sent me a copy of his work, and I found that just really over 1,000, not the 2,000, because he didn't count ones that were really changes that he should have counted. But I say this on page 4 of our Defending the King James Bible, because people often say that the present King James Bible is so very different from the original 1611 King James Bible, I looked into this question carefully. Nelson Publishers put out the 1611 King James Bible in regular Roman type script that we can read. And so they let it go out of print, and then they brought it back into print. The original 1611 King James Bible was in German script. And I have photographic copies of this original King James in the German script. It's difficult to read. The S, for instance, is different. It looks like an F. But Nelson put it out into the kind of script that we read today. They did it on a page-by-page basis. And so the same script, the same page in the original, is the script that they had in the reprint. In other words, it's page for page, original King James in German script. They put in Roman type, and page for page the same, which is very good indeed. It shows you that they're copying exactly the same as the original was. I've learned and heard through many years, and perhaps you've heard also, that the New King James Version was going to do just exactly what the 1611 version was, and to make the new edition more understanding and bringing it up to date. That's what I've heard. That's what we were told. But this is simply not the case. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And in fact, my friends, if you call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, we will give you free and postpaid a copy of Defending the King James Bible. Our special offer, while we're talking about it on the broadcast, free and postpaid, a $12 value plus shipping and handling, $16 altogether, $4 shipping and handling, free and postage paid for the asking. My friends, we're going to continue this. We're on only page 4 of our book, Defending the King James Bible. We're going to continue this the next week and right on through for several months as we discuss the book, as we read off different things from it, and as you listen to us. This is an important book. I believe it's one of the important books of all on the subject of the Bible, and I believe it lays the groundwork for anybody who wants to see what the differences are and why we stand for the King James Bible. It's important for four reasons. It has a fourfold superiority: superior texts of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, superior translators, and superior technique in theology. My friend, we're going to continue this. See you next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 1,035. 1,035 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Our website is bibleforToday.org, where you can hear 24/7 verse-by-verse preaching from this speaker, Romans through Revelation. Why not call us? We'd like to hear from you. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible. Our Defending the King James Bible is 350 pages, hardback edition. Ask your bookstore to get it, or call us direct, and we'll send it to you free and postpaid. $16 value. Simply call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask for Defending the King James Bible. Also, have you got your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. Genuine leather, shows a 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. 57,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The defined King James Bible. All right, we're continuing our analysis now of our book. Way back in 1992, we got it out. Now it's in its third revised edition, 10th printing, defending the King James Bible. A fourfold superiority. Superior texts, superior translators, superior technique, superior theology. God's words kept intact in English. 10th printing, would you like to get one free and postpaid? Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We're talking about this. We're on page number 4, still in the introduction. And it said, I have heard through the years, and perhaps you have also, that all the New King James Version was doing and going to do was to take the 1611 King James Bible and make one more edition and bring it up to date. It was said that the King James Bible had undergone thousands of serious changes from 1611 to 1979, when the New King James first came out. I said to myself, is that true? So I examined the old Schofield Reference King James Bible of 1917 by listening to it as I read that edition of the King James Bible on cassette recording. And while listening to the King James Bible, I compared it diligently, word for word, from Genesis through Revelation, with the AB 1611 as published by Nelson Press. There were very few changes that I could hear with my ear. There are many spelling changes. They spelled words differently in the original King James Bible than they do today. For instance, in Deuteronomy 31:1, Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. In the original King James, the word words is spelled W-O-R-D-E-S. All I noted were the differences between sounds. Comparing the 1611 King James Bible to the King James of today, I found very few changes of sound. We printed up all the different details just the way they are, and the sound differences were minor. I found 421 changes affecting the sound throughout the entire Old and New Testament. Now, by listening to this, I heard that many. Another gentleman recently came out with, he said about 2,000 changes. When you get down to things that weren't two changes, weren't real changes, get about 1,000 instead of 421, because he did a different method than I. I listened with the ear, and sometimes you can't hear all the details. He listened with the, or actually saw with his eyes, compared one against another. So he got the 1,000. He said it was 2,000, but I trimmed them down by looking at them. There weren't really differences to the ear. And about 1,000 instead of 421. But even at the 1,000, do you know how many words there are in the King James Bible? There are 791,000, almost 800,000 words. And so that's a very small percentage, even if it's 421 words, or whether it is actually 1,000, whatever. And some of these are minor changes. 285 of them are minor changes of my 421, for instance, of form only. For instance, 136 changes of substance, such as an adding of an of or an and or something like that. But they're minor changes. For instance, you have burnt versus burned. Well, I could hear it, so I counted it. And the difference between these things are changes to the ear. And so this is towards versus toward. Well, I could hear it, so I counted it and so on. So some of them are minor, but even if whether they're 421 total or whether they're 1,000 total, that's a minuscule amount in almost 800,000 words in our King James Bible. But you can get my count if you wish. Bible for Today, number 1294. All right, another section of the introduction. The King James Bible of today is virtually identical to the King James Bible of 1611. I say this, don't let people fool you. Don't let people fool you that we have the Bible today, King James Bible of today, is really strongly different from that which we had in 1611. It's very important that it's basically the same. As I say, it's certainly a lie to imply that there are 30,000 or 40,000 or 50,000 important differences. If they mean differences in spelling, that's one thing. But spelling is not important as far as listening or meaning are concerned. So God's words are still kept intact by our present King James Bible. They've done a good job of it, and whether the 421 to the ear or 1,000 to the eye, that 1,000 even at that top amount is a minuscule amount compared with 800,000 actual words, roughly, in our King James Bible. All right, move on to page number 6 of Defending the King James Bible. Chapter 1 begins. And the title of that chapter is God's Words Kept Intact is Bible Preservation, the Bible's Timelessness. Under the first heading, God Promised Bible Preservation. Now, this is vital. If you don't believe God promised His preservation of His words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, you have nothing to talk about today. If you don't believe He promised it, then who cares if He carried it out? If He did, but if He did promise it and did not carry it out, then our God would be a liar. We don't believe that at all. But He did promise Bible preservation. And this is the part where even Bible-believing fundamentalist brethren at Bob Jones University, for example, and Detroit Baptist Seminary, other places, Calvary Seminary, Central Seminary, Northland Baptist Bible College, Maranatha Baptist Bible College and Seminary, all in modern various schools, not only the modernistic schools, not only the Roman Catholic schools and the New Evangelical Compromise schools, but some of the fundamentalist Bible-believing schools say that God never promised to preserve His Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And so all He's done is preserve His word, by which they mean only His message, His thoughts, His ideas, His concepts, but not His words. This is serious. Heresy, in my judgment, on bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible. I didn't call my brethren heretics. I simply said their denial of Bible preservation being promised by the Lord and actually having it promised is a heretical statement, heretical bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible. It's what the modernists teach. It's what the unbelievers teach. And to have fundamentalist believers in other areas agreeing with us, yet in their area of the Bible, differing with us and differing with the Scripture, that particular section of their beliefs and theology is a heretical apostate selection and section. And we've got to be against it. God promised Bible preservation. In a very real sense, the Bible is a timeless book. That is, it will never have an end. It will never cease to exist. There will never be a year or a century, either now or in the future, when it can be accurately said the Bible is no more. It has disappeared. It has evaporated. In the first chapter of this book, let us look at 15 of the many verses in God's Word having to do with what we refer to as preservation of the words of the Bible, or Bible preservation. You may be asking yourself, do we have the words of God today? Or are the words of God intact today? I believe every one of the words of God has been preserved or kept right down to the present. As I said before, many of our fundamentalist brethren and schools are not teaching this because they don't believe that God has preserved His word, even that He promised to preserve His words down to the present. There are two strong reasons for this promise of preservation. Number one, the first reason why I believe in Bible preservation is that God has repeatedly promised in both the Old and New Testaments that He would preserve and keep every one of His words that He originally gave in the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek languages. Number two, the second reason I believe in Bible preservation is that God has always kept His promises in the past, and we assume that He will keep His promise in the future as well. His record will be perfect. In the present and future, He will keep His promises as well. Let me just pause here to say this. The fundamentalist brethren I mentioned before, the big four schools, Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Central Seminary, and Calvary Baptist Seminary, these big four schools are leading the pack, you might say, of fundamentalism in teaching their students that we must tell people that we believe in Bible preservation. They use this, but they don't believe in Bible preservation of the words of God, simply the Word of God, which they define as just the message, the thoughts, the ideas, the concepts, but not the words. My friend, that is not Bible preservation. The Bible, when it was given to us originally, was in words. Written down words. And if you don't believe in the preservation of the words, you don't believe in the preservation of the Bible. And yet the fundamentalist brethren claim that they do, in order to confuse people seriously. All right? The passage number one that teaches Bible preservation, God's promise. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. Now, our fundamentalist brethren that believe in the critical text and not the text receptus and do not believe in this, say that this verse does not teach the preservation of the words of God. They say this text does not teach Bible preservation of the words. Let me read it to you. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. End of quote. Talks about the words of God. Talks about thou, the Lord, shall keep them. That is the words of God. Not the people. The NIV puts in, thou shalt keep the people. The people are in it. No, there's no people here. They say, oh, the context means the people. No, it talks about the words of the Lord. Thou shalt keep them. It's up to the Lord to do so. Thou shalt preserve them, not the people, but the words of the Lord, from this generation forever. It's a promise of preservation. The word them in this verse, 7, refers back to the words of the Lord. That's a promise of Bible preservation. God has promised to preserve the pure words, the pure words. This promise extends from this generation, that is, when the psalmist wrote, forever. That's a long time, is it not? God is able to do this, and He has done it. I believe He's done it. He has kept His words even more perfectly, if that is possible, than He keeps the stars in their course, and the sun, the moon, all the other heavenly bodies in their proper places. He has kept His words. He promised to keep it. I believe He has kept them, the words. Now, the only question open to us is, where has He kept these words? Where has He preserved these words? Is it in the wrong Hebrew text, as some of our fundamentalist believers believe? No, I believe it's in the right Hebrew text. The Hebrew Masoretic text of Ben Chaim, the editor, not the Ben Asher text. But it's the text of the New Testament. They say, oh, it's a different text. He says, they think, well, it's preserved maybe in the critical text of Westcott and Hort, United Bible Society, Nestle Allen text? No, we believe He's preserved His New Testament Greek words in the received text, the traditional text that underlies our King James Bible. So the battle is not has He promised to preserve His words, but where are those words preserved? But the fundamentalists of our day have switched the whole argument. Back in the 1980s, I had a debate with Dr. Stuart Custer and another man, and I had another partner. I debated the subject, and Dr. Custer stood firmly on the Nestle Allen text, 26th edition at that time. Those are where God is, that's where God has preserved His words. That's a Westcott and Hort type of text, the Nestle Allen United Bible Society text. And so there at that time, he was a Bob Jones teacher and head of the department, several departments, and a respected man on the campus there, and he believed that God had preserved His words in the New Testament, but in a different text than the King James Bible's text, which differs, by the way, in 8,000 places. But at least he had a belief that the words were preserved. Now they switched the whole argument. They don't believe the words are preserved. They don't believe the promise to be preserved. But just His message, thoughts, ideas, and concepts. The Word, but not the words. All right? Verse, chapter, passage number 2. About Bible preservation. We're on page 7 of Defending the King James Bible. Get yourself a copy. Follow along with us. Yours free for the asking. $16 value. 350-page hardback edition. Write us for it. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Just ask for the book Defending the King James Bible. Page 7. The second scripture verse teaching Bible preservation. Psalm 78, verses 1-7. where David says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old," verse 3, "which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us," verse 4. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done." Verse 5, Psalm 78:5. "For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children." Verse 6, "that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." End of quote. Well, here are the words preserved from generation to generation. Verse 7, "that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Now, these verses certainly indicate that God intended to preserve his words from generation to generation for all time. And our fundamentalist brethren that don't agree with us, they will say, "Well, God never promised to preserve his words." They say Psalm 78, 1-7 doesn't indicate that either. My friend, it does. Passage number 3 about Bible preservation. It's found in Psalm 105, verse 8, where we read, "He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations." His word and his covenant, that's a promise that he's made. He's remembered it to a thousand generations. Well, if a generation is 20 years, that would be 20,000 years. If a generation is 30 years, it would be 30,000 years. God wants us to see clearly his promise of Bible preservation. Why can't our fundamentalist brethren see this? He's promised it. Oh, they don't want to see it to be promised because they don't believe he's kept the promise, so they try to say he has not made a promise. Even the fundamentalists realize the inconsistency of saying that they believe in the Bible's God who keeps his promises. If they say that he promised to preserve his words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, and he's not done so, they'd have to admit that God didn't keep that promise. So they got to go back and say every one of these promises, which are clear to us, are not promises to preserve his words, but just simply the general idea, the thoughts, the messages, ideas, and so on. Well, I don't understand how they come up with that. Let's go to passage number 4, teaching Bible preservation. Quoting from Psalm 119, verse 89, where we read, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." End of quote. God's words are not in doubt. They are permanent. It is unconfused and plain. God has established this. If it has been settled, well, that's what it means. It means it's firm, it's appointed, it won't change. And that means it's preserved and kept pure. Nothing has been lost. Nothing. Something which is settled is determined and even more solid than steel or concrete. Some people say, well, it's settled in heaven, but not on earth. But God needs it less than we do. He knows his words. We're the ones that need it. He's using the verse Psalm 119 and verse 89 to show us that God has given us words that are settled. By the way, there's a different possible meaning of this Hebrew letter Beth, which is the B word there. In heaven, it could be in. That's a good translation. There's nothing wrong with that. But also could be translated by heaven. The Beth, the preposition Beth, can be either in heaven or by heaven. And certainly he's established it in heaven, yes, but also by heaven. He hasn't given us everything he knows. He certainly hasn't given us everything that took place. But what he has put down in his words is what he wants us to know and have and use. It's true that God's words are not only preserved and settled in heaven, but they are also preserved by heaven's omnipotent God. That's what we believe is a promise of Bible preservation of the words of God. All right, we're on page 8 now. Let's take a look at the fifth passage that God has given to us of Bible preservation. Psalm 119, verse 111, where we read this, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." End of quote. Well, if you take God's testimonies as a heritage forever, they must be preserved. So we can keep them, and if it's foreverness, that's Bible preservation, is it not? Let's go to the sixth passage of Bible preservation we've listed here. Psalm 119, verse 152. "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." Now, the foreverness of the founding of the words of God. Here again, the promise that the testimonies, the words of God, will be preserved forever. It's important indeed. And then the Psalm 119 and verse 116. 119, 160. Where we read this, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Endureth forever. That's Bible preservation, is it not? Passage number 8. We see in Proverbs 22, verse 20 and 21, where Solomon writes this, "Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge?" Written, notice, "that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee." End quote. Well, here's a clear statement by the Lord that he has given us things in writing, so that we might have certainty about them. The only way we can have that certainty today is for God to have preserved every one of his words of truth. This truly is a promise of Bible preservation. Here's a ninth passage, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 14, where Solomon again says this, "I know that whatsoever that God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. God doeth it, that men should fear before him." Well, if God has done something or given us something, it is perfect. He has given us his words. Therefore, his words are perfect. We can't add to anything or take away from anything that he's got given to us in the words. They have been preserved exactly and forever. God's preservation of his words. A tenth passage is Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, Matthew 4 verse 4, as you remember, Satan was tempting the Lord Jesus Christ as he was in the wilderness for testing and temptation. Here's the Lord Jesus' answer to Satan. "But he answered," that is the Lord Jesus Christ answered, "and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." End of quote. Now notice, when Jesus says, "It is written," that referred to the Old Testament. There are two things I want you to see from this verse. The first thing, number one, how can a man or woman live by every word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God unless God has preserved those words to listen to? How can you do it? Is it possible? In order to live by every word, you have to have every word. And then it's hard to live by them even after you do have them. But it's impossible to live with them and by them if you don't have any of them. Can't do it. And you said, for instance, who speak English, you who speak English and may not know Greek or Hebrew, how will we know God's words unless he has preserved it in the heaven to the present day? And then we have it accurately and faithfully translated, as in the King James Bible, into English. In order to follow these words, we have to have them preserved, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, and then accurately translated into the English language. And I believe that the King James Bible has accurately translated those proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words into English. There's a new book that recently came out by Dr. H.D. Williams. I'd recommend it to anybody. It's called Translating Word for Word, Verbal Plenary Translation of the Words of God from the Received Texts. Word for Word Translation of the Received Texts. Very good little booklet. And you want to get it for us, and from us, rather, so give us a call. We'll tell you how to get it. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Don't forget, if you ask for it, we'll send it to you free and postage paid. Defending the King James Bible. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Or call us. That's a calling point. Or you can write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. But friends, we're going to continue this reading through for you and explaining a little bit and talking about this book, Defending the King James Bible. It's in its 10th printing. It's a third edition, revised edition. And you ought to get it. As I say, 350 pages, hardback edition. And it doesn't cost you anything. Normally it would be $16. That would be the cost of 12 plus $4 shipping and handling. But we want to give it to you free and postpaid if you'll write to us. This is the most important issue today in our churches. What is the Bible? If you don't have the Bible, you cannot live to please God. If you don't have all of His words, you cannot live by them, as the Lord Jesus has told to the devil. Thy word is truth, and by thy words thou shalt have peace and quiet. And we have thank thee for the Lord Jesus and his words that he has preserved for us. Well, we're going to continue this next time. See you next week, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 1036. 1036 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforthetoday.org. Our website is bibleforthetoday.org, and on that website you can hear 24/7, verse by verse, preaching Romans through Revelation by your speaker. We'd like to hear from you. If you'd like to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, ask your bookstore for it. And you can also call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll send it to you free and postpaid at $16 value. We're glad to have you to get it. We want you to get it and follow along with us during these months in the broadcast. Then, have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. Genuine leather. Choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. 57,000 have printed and sent out all over the world, and you can get one for yourself. Find out how to do it for yourself and your friends. Call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, for your Defined King James Bible. All right, we're continuing this week again our analysis of Defending the King James Bible, written by your speaker, of fourfold superiority: superior texts, superior translators, superior technique, and superior theology. God's words kept intact in English. We're over on page number 9 of our book, if you have it there with you, following along with us. On page number 9, we're continuing in this chapter number 1, Bible preservation. We said there are a number of verses and passages that teach Bible preservation, and we want to give them to you. We're on passage number 10, Matthew 4:4, where Satan was told by the Lord Jesus He answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." We believe the translation of our King James Bible is accurate from the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, faithfully translated. What the Lord Jesus was telling Satan was that the Old Testament has been preserved. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. The Old Testament had been preserved right down until the Lord Jesus' day, and man should live by those very words. That is a number of years, about 1,500 years from Moses until Jesus' day, whatever, approximately. He kept, guarded, and preserved every word the Lord did. And that's a great, that's the first thing. We have to live by every word, so we have to have every word that proceeds out of his mouth. The second thing I want to show you from what this verse is teaching is the word written. When the Lord Jesus told Satan, "Behold, it is written," there's a significance on Bible preservation in that word as well. The word is written is recorded a series of times in the New Testament. It's in the perfect tense in the Greek language. The word is gegleptai. And the root of it is grapho, which means to write. Our English word graphite, for example, comes from this word, as well as the word mimeograph, the word graph, to write. Grapho is the Greek word for writing, and gegleptai is the perfect tense of that verb, grapho. Now, there are three past tenses, main past tenses. There are others, but three main past tenses in the Greek language. Number one, there's an imperfect past tense, which is progressive past. Was writing. Continuous was writing. Progressive past tense. Second, there's the aorist tense, which is a spot or point type of action. He wrote. And then third, when you have another past tense, it's the perfect tense, which is used here. Now, according to the Intermediate Grammar of the Greek New Testament by Dana and Matthew, pages 200-205, the perfect tense indicates that an action has begun in the past, and the results of that act continue right on down to the very present. This is the tense that the Lord Jesus Christ used when he said, "It is written." It answers the question, and it means that the verse he quoted to Satan, way back in Deuteronomy, in Moses' day, the verse he quoted to Satan had been written down in the past in the Hebrew language by Moses, and those very Hebrew words were preserved to the very day and hour when the Lord Jesus spoke to the devil. Every time gegleptai is used, or some other form of the perfect tense of that verb, and we have it scores of times in the New Testament, that is a proof of Bible preservation. Something in the past, continuing to the present, and on into the future. God's words stand just as they were written long ago. And I believe that. I believe it's what we have to believe if we believe the Bible. On page 10 now, I didn't get the significance of that word, the perfect tense, for many years. I taught the Greek and Hebrew language in our home, our Bible for Today Baptist Seminary and Institute, for 4 years. We had some seminary students. They wanted to learn first-year Greek. And the classes on tape are being used in various ways and various parts of the country and in some foreign countries as well. So they're available. The classes were on a seminary level with regular hours, credits, and everything else that is proper for a seminary course. We taught a 4-year Greek course, a 2nd-year Greek course. That 4-year was a 1st-year Greek course. I should say 4-year, I say 1st-year Greek course, a 2nd-year Greek course, and then a 1st-year Hebrew course. After that, we taught another 1st-year Greek course. So there are 2 first-year Greek courses we've taught, and those are available on cassette tape. So we have the first-year Greek and the second-year Greek classes on tape, and also the first-year Hebrew on tape. And during our second-year Greek class, we went through the whole Gospel of John. We translated every verse in John, and also we had some other things. We went through the entire Greek grammar of Dana and Matthew, that intermediate Greek grammar. So that's what we took up in the second year Greek course. It was while we were going through John, the Gospel of John, that the significance of the word gegleptai jumped out at me. And so from then on, I've made a note of it, and I think it's excellent in proving Bible preservation. Well, here's an 11th passage. 11th passage, Matthew 5, verses 17 and 18. The Lord Jesus now is speaking. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets." That is, those are two divisions of the Old Testament canon, law and the prophets. Psalms is a third. Sometimes law and prophets are cited for the whole three divisions of the Old Testament Hebrew canon. Not come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And verse 18, Matthew 5, 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Well, not one jot or one tittle. That's what he's saying here. That's Bible preservation, isn't it? Now, he's talking about the Old Testament, and I'm sure by extension, we could carry this on to the New Testament as well. Let's take a look, though, at what he means by not one jot or one tittle. One jot is like our apostrophe or comma, the top of the line. It's the Hebrew yod. That's the jot, the yod. The sound is like a yeah, yeah, just like that, yeah. The tittle represents a very difference between two Hebrew letters. I want you to notice two letters in Psalm 119. In most of our King James Bibles, we have the beginning of the verse, which is the word beth, in verse beginning of verse 9. The Hebrew letter is to the left of the word heth, or beth rather. Compare it, verse number 8. Above that verse, you'll have the word calf. Notice these two letters. What is the difference? Calf is more rounded. The little extension, the bottom of to the right of beth, is a tittle. The little extension. That's one of the ways, that's what the Lord meant by this. The difference between the beth and the calf are simply the tittle, the extra extension at the bottom of the beth. The same is true of the difference between the daleth and the resh. The daleth, which is the D, and the resh, which is the R. The daleth has an extension, a little bit extension at the top of the D, the daleth, and nothing surrounded at the top on the resh. So there are differences between these vowels. These are the difference between the jots and the tittles, differences between a Hebrew letter. And so we can see these are examples that the smallest distinguishing characteristic between two letters of the Hebrew language would be the tittle. The Lord Jesus said that not one jot or tittle would anyway pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So the Lord Jesus believed in Bible preservation, didn't he? That's a good reason that a tittle... Now, there's a good evidence that a tittle is the smallest Hebrew vowel, which is a dot. This view is even better than the other view. This view was given to us by Dr. Thomas Strauss there in Connecticut at Emmanuel Baptist Seminary. He's a Hebrew student and scholar and teacher. And he says the tittle is a hirik. It's like a vowel, which is the smallest letter, just as simple like a dot. That's what the hirik is. So not only the smallest letter, the yod, but the smallest vowel, or the dot, the hirik. And that's even a better view than the other view. So either view that has been taken as to what the tittle is. But regardless of whether the jot and the tittle shall pass away, not one single smallest vowel or smallest consonant will perish until all be fulfilled. All hadn't been fulfilled. Therefore, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ is that every word, every vowel, every small consonant of the Hebrew text will be preserved until that time. And, of course, by extension, we adopt this also for the New Testament, the words that are involved with the New Testament Greek text. A 12th passage of the Scripture talking about Bible preservation is in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. That's repeated, by the way, in two other Gospels of Mark and of Luke. But here's what it says, the Lord Jesus speaking again here, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." I take the position the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, He's our Captain, He's our Redeemer, He's our Lord, He's our Master, and He must be the source of our theology and doctrine as well. And he and his words must take precedence over the words of theological seminary professors that deny Bible preservation of the words of God. That means his word and his decisions and the verses that speak from his mouth, such as not a jot or a tittle shall perish, and that also that heaven and earth shall pass, my word shall not pass away. His words must take precedence over the words of even fundamentalist teachers at fundamentalist schools that are fundamental in other doctrines, but not on bibliology or the words of God, like at Bob Jones University, or Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, and other schools, fundamental schools, as well as the other modernistic liberal schools, new evangelical schools, and the Roman Catholic schools. The Lord Jesus' words must be predominant, that in all things, as the book of Colossians says, he might have the preeminence. Notice what Matthew 24:35 says, and repeated in Mark and repeated in Luke, the same identical words. What is he saying? Yes, heaven and earth shall pass away. It hasn't passed away yet. A lot of people don't believe it's going to pass away. One day it will pass away. No question about it. It will pass away according to the words of God in Scripture. But he says, though that will pass away, my words shall not pass away. By the way, the word not there is the strongest negative in the Greek language. Not simply ou, which is a negative. Not simply may, which is a negative. But ou may. Never, never, never pass away. The Lord Jesus' words must be taken as to what they mean. Yet our fundamentalist brethren that teach this critical text nonsense say that this is not what is meant by the Lord Jesus. Oh, he didn't mean Bible preservation. Well, if he didn't mean it, why did he say it? That his words shall never pass away. Never, never, never. The Lord Jesus is talking about his words. The New Testament. Not the Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament only, but his words will not pass away. Now, I believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are the words of the Hebrew Aramaic Old Testament and the words of the Greek New Testament. We're going to quote that verse as far as the gospel is concerned. He says that in John 14:26, the words, I have yet many things to say unto you, in chapter 16 of John, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, where he shall not speak of or from himself as to the source of himself, ek, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Lord Jesus is the person of the Godhead that gave to the Holy Spirit his words. Whatsoever you shall hear, that shall he speak. And the Holy Spirit gave the words to the writers of the Bible. New Testament writers, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author of every word of the New Testament. I think by analogy, he's the author of every word of the Old Testament. He's the Logos. He's the Revelator. He's the one that reveals. And he's the one that gave us the words of the Hebrew, every word of the Old Testament Hebrew, the Lord Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit of God, who gave to the writers of the Old Testament as well. And when the Lord Jesus Christ said, my words shall not pass away, he's talking about his promise to keep and preserve every jot, every tittle, every part of the Old Testament Hebrew and Aramaic and the New Testament Greek words. And that's why I believe his promise. That's why I believe. And I believe he's kept his promise. And I, from studying in many years, since 1970, this is 37 years ago, as this broadcast is being made, I've been reading, studying, researching, debating, all kinds of things. And my conviction personally is the promise that has been fulfilled of the words being preserved and not passing away, those words in the Old Testament are the very words underlying our King James Bible, Hebrew and Aramaic words. I believe those words that have been preserved, it's my faith, by study, by looking at for 37 years, I believe that the New Testament words that God has promised to preserve and has preserved are the very Greek words underlying our King James Bible. The underlying words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek of the King James Bible, I believe are the words that God has preserved for us and should be the basis of every translation on the face of the earth. Every translation on the face of the earth. The King James Bible is based on those words. The Spanish will be based on those words. The French, the German, the Swahili, the Russian, all these words, the Chinese, the Japanese, based upon his words. Now, that means the promise extends to the New Testament. I believe personally the Lord Jesus was the source and the author of every word of the Hebrew Old Testament text. We said that before. He was the revelator, the Word of God. In the real sense, his words include the entire Old Testament. He's also the source and author of all the New Testament words and books. Though we had human writers, the Lord Jesus Christ as the divine author and source of it all. He's the divine source and author of it all. Now, Christ's authorship of the Gospels. In John 14:26, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would bring all things to your remembrance that I have said unto you. Now, this includes the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 14:26 says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." He's talking about to the disciples in the upper room. This includes everything he said in the four Gospels. The word shall not pass away. The Holy Spirit of God will bring to these apostles the exact words so that nothing is forgotten. The Holy Spirit of God was the means of preserving the Gospels. And then Christ's authorship of the Acts of the Apostles. There's another verse on that one. Let's take a look at John 15:26-27. "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Then verse 27, John 15:27. "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Ye shall bear witness. Well, the apostles bearing witness is written down in the book of Acts, what they did, the witness of the apostles. The Holy Spirit of God bear witness through the apostles, and the book of Acts is the record of their witness. When the Lord Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would bring all things to their remembrance, his statement included the book of Acts. And then notice Christ's authorship of the epistles. Let's turn to John 16:12-13. John 16:12-13. The Lord Jesus said this, "I have yet many things to say unto you." He's talking to his disciples. I've said this, quoted this before. "But ye cannot bear them now." They couldn't understand them, in other words. Verse 13, John 16:13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself," that is, from himself as to the source, "but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." That shall he speak. The guiding into all truth includes the epistles. Notice also that it's clear that the Holy Spirit is not the source and author of the words. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, who's both the source and the author. He says, "He will guide you into all truth, but he shall not speak of himself or from himself as to the source. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." The Lord Jesus is the one that gave the Holy Spirit, the words that he was to teach as far as the epistles were concerned. Then notice the fourth thing, Christ's authorship of revelation. In John 16:13, the last part of verse 13, the Lord Jesus continued, "And he shall show you, and he shall show you things to come." And he will show you things to come. And that refers then to the New Testament prophetic books. The phrase "things to come" certainly refers back to the book of Revelation. So you have the book of Revelation, the epistles, the Acts of the Apostles, all the Gospels written by the Lord Jesus Christ, working through the Holy Spirit and using the human writers. When he says, "My words shall not pass away," the Lord Jesus is including the Gospels, Acts, Epistles, Revelation. All of them are his words. The whole New Testament is tied up in a bundle, and we can't change it. We can hold it in our hands. His promise to preserve the words of the Scripture, the New Testament, as well as our Old Testament. I want you to notice also John 16:14. Jesus said, "He," that is the Holy Spirit, "shall guide me shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. This certainly is an answer to the charismatic movement, which glorifies the Holy Spirit instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall glorify me. In Matthew 24, verse 35, the Lord Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away. But what is more stable than heavens and earth? What is more stable, more permanent? We think these are permanent things. Now, we do have earthquakes, but we think the earth is being solid. We call it terra firma, firm earth. For the Lord Jesus Christ said that heaven and earth shall pass away. Look at the unbelievers and Christians who do not believe in God's preservation of all his words. They take the earth for granted. We all do. We walk on it. We attempt, we assume that it won't give way when we walk on it. Sometimes there are earthquakes and big holes and we drop into them. It's a solid thing. But Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, but the words of God will continue. They are forever settled in heaven and by heaven. They are preserved words. They're even more preserved and more settled than either the heaven or the earth. Now, that passage of Scripture teaches Bible preservation. That verse, Matthew 24:35, and Mark and Luke repeating the same words exactly, those verses teach Bible preservation. And how our friends, our brethren, our fundamentalist friends in these other schools, Bob Jones University in Detroit and Central and Calvary and others, how they can say there's no verses, not a single verse of Scripture that teach preservation of the words of the Bible, how they can teach this is beyond me. It really is beyond me. The Lord Jesus, again, is the source of our belief in Bible preservation. He said it. We believe it. That must settle it. We cannot do anything about it. We must go with it, and that's what we must do. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defying King James Bible. And remember, if you call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, we'll give you out, free and postage paid, a copy of Defending the King James Bible, $16 value. We want you to have it. Simply call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Well, we're going to continue next week the same line of reasoning. We're going to talk about Bible preservation. We're going to give you another verse from Scripture. The Bible has been predicted to be preserved. We believe it has been preserved. We believe the preservation of the Scripture is very important to the Lord, very important to us as well. And we do not believe that we should take away from the Scriptures and from the Lord Jesus Christ's promise of preservation. We're going to continue in this very important topic. If you don't have a Bible, you don't have a solid Bible, a Bible in which you can have confidence, utmost confidence, complete confidence, then how do you know the theology and doctrines of that Bible are true and believable? We must stand for the Scriptures. We must stand for the words of the Lord in all these areas in which we preach, in which we teach. And without doing this, we're going to fall far flat on our face. We're going to be far inferior on our theology and biblical doctrines, as these other versions and perversions have shown us. They're deficient, they're defective, and we've got to stay away from them. Stand with a King James Bible. Get this book, Defending the King James Bible, A Fourfold Superiority, Text, Translators, Technique, Theology. We believe it's God's words kept intact in English. See you next broadcast, next week, same time, same station. Until then, so long.